We talked about purpose and what your purpose is here on earth, what your purpose is in this life, what your purpose is towards God. And so this is a little bit of a follow-up to that. After you purpose in your heart, last week we talked about Daniel and how he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself against his God, right? And so this is kind of the benefits that follow after a purpose, after you make that purpose in your heart, that you're going to follow the Lord, that you're going to abide by the rules of this book, you know, abide by his rules. This is kind of what happens when you do that. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Okay, so now up until this point, the Lord here is he's speaking to Abram. Now to the point, Abram in his life, Abram had been following his father Terah around, okay? He had been living under his father Terah's house. You can see that in chapter 11. Even in the last verse of chapter 11, you see, "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah had died in Haran." Okay, so Terah dies in the end of chapter 11, and the first thing that Abram is told of God is, "I want you to pack up from your father's house, and I want you to leave." Okay, that's the first thing here. Abram is new to this leading of the family, and the first thing God tells him to do is, "I want you to pack up and leave." He said, "Leave your father's house, the place where you've grown accustomed to, the place where you find comfort, the place where you find peace. You know, and go into a land that I will show you." Okay, go into this land. And verse 2, he says, "If you obey, if you do what I tell you to do, I will make you a great nation." Right? "And I will bless you and make your name great." Now, when we read this story and we see God's perspective of things, we see the deal that God is offering Abram, we think, man, that's a pretty good deal, right? That's a pretty good deal. You're going to be the father of a nation, right? That's a good deal. I'm going to make your name great. So everyone's going to know the name of Abram, right? Everyone's going to know Abram's name. Sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Everyone's going to know him, and God's going to bless him along his way. God's going to bless him along the journey, okay? But the choice here is a lot more difficult than you would think. From the words that we have here in verse 1, there's a lot of uncertainty into what God is saying, right? He's telling him to go into a far land, right? There's a lot of uncertainty in that. From Abram's perspective, he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know how long it's going to take him to get there. He doesn't know how far the travel is going to be. He doesn't know how he's going to transport all his possessions. If you know anything about Abram in the story, Abram's family had a lot of possessions, right? They were rich in cattle and sheep and ox and all of these. They had cattle, they had servants, they had maidservants, they had all these things they're going to transport, right? So how am I going to transport all this stuff, right? The choice I'm saying isn't as easy as what we think it is. Right? The choice here, leave your family, leave your friends, leave it all behind, leave the comfortable home that you've built, the place where you have established, leave it all alone. We talked about last week getting out of your comfort zone, right? Getting out of your comfort zone. You can't grow if you stay inside your comfort zone, right? You cannot grow unless you go through some struggles and some hard times, okay? And so the choice to leave his family, his friends, the relationship that he's built there is not an easy thing to do. You know, there is absolutely 1,000 excuses Abram could have made to not do what God told him to do. There's literally 1,000 you could make. And we do the same thing all the time. When God pecks at our conscience, you know, sometimes we weigh the balances. Okay, well, if I do this, is so-and-so not going to like me? If I give this track out, am I going to hear ridicule from the person I'm giving the track to? This happens to us all the time, right? We deal with these same choices and these same consequences, these same things that God deals with us, okay? So let's look at the end of verse 2. It says, "And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Okay, so this brings me to the topic of today's message. I want to talk about the aspects of a blessing. Okay, now when I started to do this study, I didn't realize how grand this was going to be. Okay, so if anything, this is more of like an introduction into the idea of blessings. Okay, the idea of blessings. Now in the Bible, this is the first time the word blessings comes up in the Bible. This is the first time, this is the first reference to that. Okay, blessing shows up 64 times in the Bible. Blessings, plural, shows up 9 more times. Now, the first thing we notice here in verse 2, let's look. It says, the first time the word blesses comes up, it says, "I will bless thee." Okay, so the first thing that we can notice is that blessings come from God. Okay, blessings start with God, towards us. Okay, but these blessings, they are contingent on how we respond to the Lord. Right? These blessings don't come if we don't respond. If we ignore what God tells us to do, the blessings won't come. So the blessings are contingent on how we respond to the Lord. Okay, let's take for that for example, salvation. Okay, when you heard the salvation message, you had a choice to either accept or reject it, right? The blessing of eternal life comes after you've made the choice to accept it. Right? The blessing comes after the choice, right? The reward comes after the choice, okay? And that's the first thing that we see about blessings. Blessings come from God, okay? So you might want to ask yourself now, how is God going to bless Abram in this situation? Well, there are many ways in which God blesses us, many different ways. That could be financially. God could bless you financially, you know? God could bless you if you're going on a trip. He could bless you in your safe travels. The Bible talks about your family as a blessing to you, right? It says, I think in Proverbs it says that a good wife is from the Lord. A good wife, that's a blessing. That's a blessing from God. So there's many ways in which the Lord is going to bless Abram in his travels here. There's many ways if you read through Genesis chapter 12 and going forward to Genesis chapter 25 when Abram dies, there's a lot of ways in which God blesses Abram along this journey, right? And there's many different ways, okay? And God is promising to bless Abram along his way. Okay, the next thing we see about blessings in verse 2 here, it says, "And thou shalt be a blessing." The Lord blessed Abram here because of his obedience. You can see that in verse 4. It says, "And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." Abram was obedient. Okay, now this blessing, and because Abram was obedient, that blessing that God is going to give to him in turn becomes a blessing towards God. Because Abram was obedient, Abram was a blessing towards God. Okay, now this wasn't blind obedience. Turn, if you would, with me over to Hebrews. Keep your finger here, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about obedience. We're not talking about blind obedience here. We're talking about something else. Look, if you would, in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God." Okay, the builder and maker was God. Abram not only obeyed God, right, but he believed every word that God spoke to him right there. He believed every word that God spoke to him. Now, that's faith, right? That's faith. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how long it was going to take him to get there. He didn't ask questions. He just had faith. Now, the Bible says, I've talked about this before, and this is a very popular verse. The Bible says faith is the substance of all things hoped for, right? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Abram couldn't see in the ways in which God was going to bless him. Abram couldn't see that. Abram couldn't see the blessings that were going to come his way. Abram couldn't see the land that he was going to, right? He had to take a step of faith, a leap of faith, as you would call it, right? He had to have faith. Where was he going? He couldn't see these things. He couldn't see any of these. Now, why this is so important is because it was revealed back in chapter 11 in Genesis that his wife, Sarai, was barren. She had no children. There was going to be no one left to inherit the blessing that God gave to him. We remember God promised him to make a great nation out of him. Right? That's what God's promise was. But as we see from chapter 12 and verse 4, Abram was already 75 years old when the Lord was speaking to him. Right? The days of Abram being a father, he had been long gone. Right? He, you know, by the time you're 75 years old, you're looking at like grandbabies and whatnot, right? You're not looking to have children of your own. You're looking, you know, at the future, you know, your kids having kids and seeing those kids grow up. You know, Abram had probably already made peace with the fact that he was never going to have children in his life, right? That's what makes this so remarkable, this faith that he believed that God was going to give him an heir, right, to inherit that blessing. Right? That takes a lot of faith. That takes a great deal of faith. The remarkable thing is that Abram believed in God and in God's power more than he believed in the experiences he had here on earth, right? With Sarah not being able to have kids. That's unfathomable. That goes beyond human comprehension. God's promise there goes beyond any comprehension that you could ever think of. God's knowledge and wisdom goes beyond all of that, right? And he still had faith. And when you have that kind of faith towards God, you are a blessing to God. Look a little bit later. There's another thing here that I want to mention here in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 13. In Hebrews 11, 13, it says, still speaking about Abraham here, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. God promised Abram this, right? And he believed that God was going to uphold this promise long after Abram was dead and gone, right? He believed that God was going to hold to his word long after he was dead. This is what we call a generational blessing. This is a blessing that has been passed down from generation to generation. This blessing that God blessed Abraham, Abraham believed that God was going to bless it down to his son, and then down to his son, and then down to his sons, and so on and so forth, right? This is a generational blessing, and he believed that. That's remarkable. That's remarkable that Abram could look in the future and say, yeah, God's going to continue this blessing if I just do this thing for him. That's a remarkable thing. That's a remarkable blessing, a generational blessing. Another aspect of a blessing, look if you would in Genesis chapter 22. Fast forward in the story of Abraham. This is after God gave Abraham a son, and then after God gave Abraham a son, he told Abraham, offer your only son Isaac for a sacrifice. Again, Abram trusted and obeyed God, even when it passed his earthly understanding. Proverbs 3:5, another popular verse, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Even when things don't make sense to us, even when the reasons why God does this, why God does that, we can't understand it, right? But he asks us to trust in him, all right? And again, from Abram's perspective, the Lord has now given him a son at the ripe old age of 100 years old, back in chapter 21. He'd just given him this son. In chapter 22, he is now asking Abraham to sacrifice that very child. That very child who was going to carry on the blessing of the nation that God had promised to Abraham. Okay? The wisdom of God passes our understanding here on earth. Why does God allow us to go through these things? Why does God allow us to go through hard times? Why are there troubles that come our way? Why are there bumps in the road? As we talked about last week, sometimes, and in this case, it was to test his faithfulness towards God. Sometimes the Lord's trust testing our faithfulness. Are you going to stay faithful when things don't go your way? Are you going to stay faithful when hard times come your way, when trouble comes your way? Are you going to stay faithful under any circumstance? Are you going to stay faithful? And that's what he's doing here. Read in verse 11, it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." So God was testing Abraham in his faithfulness towards God. Is there anything that's going to cause you to lose your faith in me, Abraham? That's what God was doing here. And because Abraham passed the test, because he was going to offer Isaac, his only son, offer that blessing up, right? We read here in verse 15, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sands which were upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." When you are obedient to the words of God, and you're obedient despite things passing human comprehension, his blessing towards us is 100-fold, 1,000-fold times better than any sacrifice we'd ever have to make here on earth, right? He already had blessed Abraham. Already he said, hey, leave your household, leave your family behind, and I will bless you, right? The second step, the second wrench in the plan, he throws, sacrifice your son. And when he did that, he multiplied that blessing. That blessing increased. When you look at the story of Abraham, and you see Abraham's faith grow and grow as the story goes on, he gets closer and closer to God as the story goes on because of this. Okay? Today, if you made a purpose in your heart that you were going to follow after God, that you were going to try to do your best to walk the guidelines that are mentioned here in this Bible, if you purposed in your heart that against any circumstance, against any ridicule, against anything out there, that you were going to do this, that you weren't going to defile yourself in front of your God anymore, if you looked back on that and on today, 10, 15 years from now, you're going to see many ways in which the Lord has blessed your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And I guarantee you this even more than this. You're going to look back on that, the 10 or 15 years that you purposed, and you're going to look back on that, and you're going to say, God blessed me more than I could have possibly imagined. More than I could have possibly imagined. If I could tell you 10 years ago that I'd be up here preaching to you right now, I would have laughed at you. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have laughed in your face. I'm like, you're crazy. You're crazy. It's not going to happen. Never. Not me. Not me. I listen to preaching. I'm not the one doing it. I would have never in 1,000 years. But if you purpose in your heart today and you look back 10, 15 years from now, you would not regret your decision. Pastor says this all the time. People who look back on their deathbeds never regret accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. That's one decision you'll never regret. You'll never look back and say, man, I regret doing that. You know, and when you do that, just speaking of salvation, Jesus Christ offers us a mansion in heaven for just having faith in him. A mansion in heaven, not a shack. I would be happy with just a shack. I would be happy living underneath like a hobo on the side of the streets, on the golden street. I'd be happy. If that was just my only ticket into heaven, I would be more than happy with that, right? Just getting in. I'll sleep on the street. I'll sleep out, you know, in the grass. If a shack was all that was offered, I'd take it. Sign me up in a heartbeat. But that's not what Jesus Christ is offering. With faith, he's offering a mansion, an eternity, and living with him. Okay, so his blessing, God's blessing, is 1,100 times better than any sacrifice we can make for him here on earth. Okay, let's fast forward in the story here. Let's turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 28. where we're at in the story, this is two generations later. Okay, Isaac, Abraham's son, is now passing that blessing which God blessed Abraham down to his son Jacob. It says in verse 1, it says, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Cana. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother." Now, in order for Jacob to receive this blessing, again, it's contingent on what he does with it. For one, A, he has to believe. Believe in a promise that was promised to his grandfather 100 years ago. Believe in that promise, not only that, but B, to obey the requirements of the blessing, which his father lays out here. Now, the remarkable thing about this, about Jacob here, is that this blessing was verbally given to Abram, not anyone else. It was verbally given to Abram 100 years ago. When God spoke to Abram in chapter 12, he was 75 years old. In chapter 25, Abram died at the age of 175 years old. That's 100 years. That's easy math. 100 years. A lot can change in 100 years. If just thinking about it, 100 years ago today, people didn't have refrigerators in their homes. People didn't have microwaves. Most people 100 years ago didn't even have a bathroom in their home. 100 years ago, the Model T was the only car on the road, and it was rare at that. You didn't have all the traffic on the roads that you have nowadays, right? And today there are hundreds of different kinds of cars, not just one. Hundreds. 100 years ago, the horse and buggy was more common than the car. Doctors 100 years ago treated infection with leeches. They'd put leeches on you, and they would suck the infection out. Heroin and opiates could be purchased over the counter in place of things that we have like Tylenol, ibuprofen, Advil. People 100 years ago were more moral, right? The majority of people made a push for prohibition, to make alcohol consumption illegal. They realized the immorality of what that led to, right? Today we're fighting for the opposite. Today we're fighting for the legalization of marijuana. We're fighting for the legalization of many other drugs. We don't have the same outlook. Only 100 years ago this stuff was happening. Only 100 years ago. And today here we are fighting for the legalization, and it's almost there. It pretty much is. Movies back then were black and white, but they also didn't have sound. Now we have tons of sound. The dating life back then. Couples were facilitated by the parents, right? They were set up by the parents. Today we have dating apps. We have what's called playing the field. And it's common for people to share multiple partners in a lifetime. Not back then. Not back then. 100 years ago, we didn't have a national anthem. In 1931 was when the Star-Spangled Banner was officially publicly made our national anthem. 100 years ago, there were no child labor laws. Kids were dropping out of school early to go work and help their parents. The point of all this is to say that a lot changes in 100 years. Priorities change, minds change, things change. Like the idea of prohibition, like the dating scene back then. Think of all the broken homes we have nowadays. Think of all the teen pregnancies. And this leads to the idea of abortion. That would have never flown back then, 100 years ago. They would have never even questioned it. They would have never even thought twice about abortion. But now, because of these things, because of how we do things, because of how our priorities have changed over the last 100 years, now these things are more prominent in our life. You know, they would have never dreamed of such things. I mean, think of all of the mess that we could prevent if we would just go back to the way things used to be, right? Go back to the way things were 100 years ago. Moral men were more common. God was built into the family structure. Great revivals were taking place under Billy Sunday. Great revivals were happening. And because of the principles those people had back then, God greatly blessed this nation. He greatly blessed this nation. We have some of the freedoms we have because of the people 100 years ago. But boy, have as a nation, not as individuals, but as a nation, we have dropped the ball. We have taken that blessing and we've taken it for granted. So much so that God has been kicked out of our public schools. They don't allow the kids to recite the Pledge of Allegiance because it states one nation under God. That might offend the Muslims. Well, guess what? The Muslim religion wasn't found in this country. Allah is not the God of this country. He is not the God of this country. I don't care what the Buddhists think. I don't care what the Muslims think. Their religion didn't found this country. Their religion didn't set the foundations of their principles didn't set the foundation of this country. This Bible did. This Bible set the foundation of our country. I don't care what some leftist thinks about all the rights, the gay rights, and all the rest of the nonsense. I don't care about it. They didn't build this country. The leftists didn't build this country. No. The God of this Bible built this country, and he blessed this country greatly, and we have gotten so far from it. Kelly was telling me the other day that there are local businesses that are offering like ice cream to kids who can come in and recite the Pledge of Allegiance because they're not making them say it in school anymore. They're not making them say it in school anymore. So as a reward for knowing the Pledge of Allegiance, they're offering free ice cream. Free ice cream to kids who know the Pledge of Allegiance. What a disgrace. 100 years later, we know about God up here, but we don't have God in here. All right, we know most of the people, you go out on the street, you talk to people on the street, they know about God. They know about Jesus' sacrifice, but they don't have it here. Right? The difference in salvation is 18 inches from here to here. That's the difference, having in here. And that's the same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 25. Look at Genesis chapter 25. Turn a few chapters back. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall be servant to the younger.' And when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." Now, in most cases, especially in the Jewish culture, birthrights were passed down to the eldest son. Okay, we have something similar in this country and this in our culture where we pass names down to our eldest son. Okay, that's just something we do. But every once in a while, God makes exceptions to the rules, like you see in verse 23. Right, it says that the elder shall serve the younger. God knew that Jacob would believe with his whole heart in the blessing in which he blessed Abram with 100 years ago. Even though priorities may have changed, even though years may have passed since God originally made this blessing, he knew that Jacob would believe in it. And Jacob would obey the requirements to obtain that blessing. Now, most of us know the story. We know about Jacob. We know about some of his sneaky actions. We know about some of the slimy things he did in order to get that blessing. All right? We know that he took matters into his own hands a few times, right? But his motivation was right. He believed in that blessing. He didn't take that blessing for granted. Look in verse 29, it says, "And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall a birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Jacob knew what that birthright was. He knew what that blessing meant. He believed in that blessing. He believed that 100 years ago, God had spoke to his grandfather and gave him this great blessing. Look at what it says in verse 34. "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright." Esau despised his birthright. He took that birthright for granted. The same thing that we've done as a whole nation in this country. We've taken the blessings that God has given us, and we've taken it for granted. We've taken for granted that we have a Bible in our homes that we get to open up every single day. We've taken for granted that we can get on our hands and knees and pray to our Lord any time we want, without the worry of anyone busting down our door. Around the world, many people are coming in and taking Bibles out of their homes and murdering people for just believing in the name of Jesus Christ. We have a blessing here, right? Let's not take that for granted like Esau did. Esau had the same problem Americans nowadays have. He had the knowledge up here, but he didn't have it right here. Did he believe that God promised Abraham? Did he believe in the stories, right? Growing up, Esau heard the same stories Jacob did about his grandfather and how, you know, he did all these things, how he raised up an army to go save Lot, how he entreated of God to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Esau heard the same stories that Jacob did growing up, but did he believe him? Did he believe him here? He knew him here, but did he have him here? Jacob had him here. And so he heard all the things that God did for Abraham, but did he believe him? You know, three generations later, you know, 100 years down the road, and God hasn't fulfilled that promise yet. He probably lost faith in it. He probably was like, that was just something some old man said, you know, 100 years ago. That's something some old 100 man, just think of all the things that we could do if we just went back to the way things were 100 years ago. The faith, the morality that those men had 100 years ago, right? We would be in a whole lot less mess than we are nowadays. We'd be in a whole lot less, and what you're left with, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. If you take these blessings that God's given us for granted, this is the end result. Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Right? You can't replace that time. If you reject the blessing, if you take the blessing for granted, you can't get back that time. You can cry about it. You can be repentful all you want. And God may hear your repentance. God may forgive you for wasting that time. But man, are you missing out on all the blessings. You are missing out on a lifetime full of blessings if you reject that. No tears or repentance can make up for a lifetime without blessings. Like I said, the Lord may forgive you, but you can't get those blessings back. You can't get that time back. There's one last idea I would like to leave you with here today before we leave about a blessing. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 39. One, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought of him the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Okay, so Joseph was a son of Jacob, one of Jacob's 12 sons. Okay, so God is finally fulfilling this prophecy, right, of Joseph, or of Jacob and his 12 sons being the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his masters, the Egyptian. And his masters saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. When you keep that purpose, when you keep that purpose, the Lord blesses you, right? And not only you receive that blessing, but the people that are around you are affected by that blessing as well. Through that blessing, it can affect all those around you. In verse 3, it says that God made everything Joseph touched to prosper, right? And because of that, Potiphar's house prospered as well. When you decide to serve the Lord, people are going to take notice. People are going to spot you out. People are going to say, that's something different. That's exactly what Potiphar noticed. Potiphar noticed there was something different about Joseph. Everything that he did well. Right? When you serve the Lord and decide you're going to follow the rules laid out in this book, the Lord will magnify you in the eyes of your peers. Others will take notice. Now look at verse 6. It says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. You know, Joseph was a blessing to Potiphar. Joseph was a blessing to Potiphar's house. When you go to work, you show up on time, and you put forth a good effort, like is detailed in this book. When you do that, you are a blessing to your employer, right? Your employer can benefit from you, right? You are a blessing to other people around you. You're a blessing to maybe the employees you work with, right? Helping them out on a project, right? You've worked so hard and you're able to help someone else out. You're a blessing to other people, right? Blessings don't just affect you. They affect everyone around you. When a husband or a wife chooses to purpose in his heart to follow and obey Christ, God will bless that household, right? And that blessing affects everyone in that house, right? If the Lord blesses you financially with a good job, your family reaps the benefits of that blessing, right? With a nice roof over your head, it could be food on your plate, a comfortable bed to sleep in. If you were like me and you were raised in a house that believed in Jesus Christ and went to church and you're reaping the benefits today, a generational blessing that's been passed down to you by your parents, right? You're reaping the benefits that God blessed your parents with. A lot of us here today, we wouldn't be here where we were without that blessing of our parents presenting the gospel at a young age, right? Some of us wouldn't be here today, but some of you today weren't raised with that blessing, but you're here today despite that. But starting with you and your family, you can start a generational blessing. Abram, his blessing passed down to Isaac, passed down to Jacob, and passed down to his 12 sons, which made up the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a generational blessing. God kept his promise to Abram long after Abram was gone. You know, when we look at the church, we look at all the things that we have here in this church. We have a great pastor, one of the most knowledgeable pastors that I know of, here today living on earth. We have that. That's a great blessing. Because he's been faithful towards God and this book, we are reaping the blessing which God has blessed Pastor with. We reap those benefits. See, we look at blessings, we look at them as like some miraculous work of God that God has done. Like for instance, God giving Abraham a son at the age of 100 years old, right? That's a miracle. That's an absolute, but that's not how all blessings work, right? Sometimes we take the blessings that we have, all of us, our family, we take the blessing for granted. Don't take that blessing for granted. Don't take the blessing of the Lord for granted. You know, if the Lord ever calls me to a full-time ministry, whether that's pastoring another church or wherever he may call, right? The Lord will have used my time learning under pastor and me using the Sunday school kind of as a guinea pig and how to put these messages together. He will have used that time to bless another people, right? Your patience with me, your encouragement towards me, that blessing that you have all shown me from getting up here and doing this thing, that blessing will be passed on to whatever full-time ministry the Lord may call me to. And you better believe if the Lord ever does call me to a full-time ministry, they will know the blessing of Lowell Baptist Church. Right? That is a blessing, right? I'm not always right. And sometimes you guys let me know that. And that's a blessing, right? I'm not always right. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. A lot. All right, and you, some people, sometimes you let me know, and that's a blessing, right? It's a blessing to be wrong and be told you're wrong so you can fix your mistakes. That's a blessing, right? It's a blessing that there's people here that know better, you know? There's a lot of people here older than me that have been in this Bible longer than me that know more. It's a blessing, right? To be told, to be encouraged, to be lifted up by those people. So yes, if God calls me to a people, that blessing will be passed on. That's how blessings work. They're contagious, right? They pass on from people to people. You pass on blessings. You can be a blessing to somebody else by doing something. If you know someone's going through a hard time, you can be a blessing to them, right? You can send them a text message saying, I'm praying for you. That's a blessing, right? It doesn't have to be a miracle. It doesn't have to be some large gesture, right? It doesn't have to be a miracle. And back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, God told Abram, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. I want to be a blessing and not a curse, right? I would rather be a blessing than a curse. You know, wouldn't you want to be a blessing towards God? Abraham was a blessing to God, right? He wasn't a curse to God. He was a blessing. You know, forget receiving the blessings that God gives to us. Jesus Christ left his heavenly estate to walk on this earth, to get mocked and rejected by this people, crucified, Don't you just want to be a blessing to him because he gave us eternal life because of it? Wouldn't it just be nice to be a blessing to him because of the sacrifices that he made for us? You know, being a blessing to Jesus Christ, you know, putting your faith in him as a in your Savior. You know, we know about Jesus up here, but do we have him in here? Right? That's how you can bless the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping the Lord in your hearts, right? So Daniel purposed in his heart. This is where you got to keep him, right? This is how you get the blessings. This is how you can be a blessing, all right? And so with that, I'll close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the examples that you've laid out here in the Bible, Lord. And I just pray that we would all strive to be a blessing to one another, Lord, and that we'd strive to be, more importantly, a blessing to you and to be one day called your friend. That would be the absolute goal and the biggest blessing that we could ever receive, Lord. And I pray that you would just keep this idea with us in our hearts, Lord. Keep it close to us as we go about our weeks, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.